Welcome back to Canna Week, brought to you by New Frontier Data, where we deliver the week's top headlines in cannabis and your experts weigh in on the impact these stories are having on the industry. I'm your host, Heather Wickline. Okay, today we are going to be diving into a hot topic in the industry, which is infused beverages. And we are thrilled to have our first guest on. He is the founder and CEO of Bev Canna Enterprises, a leader in the cannabis beverage sector. Bev Canna owns and operates one of the highest capacity cannabis beverage processing and manufacturing facilities. And he also founded Naturo Group Investments and the Trace brand of natural beverages and nutraceuticals. Please welcome Mr. Marcello Leone. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us. Thanks, Heather.
And our next guest is our in-house expert. She serves as Director of Industry Analytics, leading New Frontier Data's consumer research. Please welcome Dr. Molly McCann.
Great to be here. Great to be back.
Well, I know this is a big subject for you, so we are going to dive right in. Insider.com reported the rise of cannabis, seltzer, and spirits, which get you higher quicker than edibles. Cannabis-infused beverages, so they've gotten a ton of interest as both an alternative to alcohol and as a potential entry point for new consumers that may be better described as canna curious and wanting to get into it. So even compared to other value-add products such as edibles, infused beverages have become really popular lately. Marcello, what would you attribute this enthusiasm among consumers?
Yeah, there's a, you know, I would say there's a couple of key reasons. One, I think the social adoption and being able to tap into this new product in edibles 2.0 versus smoking versus an infusion of beverages. I think there's lots of new people that wish to have the experience with a CBD or THC infused separate or blended mix, but would prefer not to have not to infuse that through either smoking or even through the uncertainty of dosages that you're going to get in certain edible products as well. So the beverage market is one that we foresee as adoption becomes even greater. There's lots and lots of interest in this space. I think it becomes very similar to drinking an alcoholic beverage. I think it's a beautiful alternative to that. And it just requires more and more and easier access to be able to purchase these products.
Right. Well, Dr. Molly, you've done the most amount of, you know, consumer research on this. What have you heard to be the most reason why people are really enthusiastic about this product?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of reasons. I mean, first of all, beverages still are a really, I mean, infused products in general are still a really small part of total sales in this industry, and beverages are even smaller than that. But it's, you know, it's a growing sector. There's been a ton of investment in it. There's a lot of headroom for it to grow. And I think that right now is a really perfect time for that to happen. As Marcello said, we have, you know, this unique opportunity right now. During the summer, most markets right now are at the tail end of pandemic restrictions. I think that we're going to see a lot of opportunities for social consumption that is really going to drive interest in the products. And it is worth mentioning for now, most of the consumers who use infused beverages also smoke. So it's more a matter of choosing different products for different situations or to achieve different moods or, you know, in different contexts. So, but I think that is going to change. I think that beverages offer a really, you know, a lower threshold to entry for people who aren't already experienced consumers, as you mentioned. And I think that we're starting to see the right formulations. It took a while to get to this point, but right now we're seeing appropriate doses and onset times and just more interesting formulations that are bringing consumers in.
Well, speaking of that, that kind of leads me to my next question on like, how important is dosing when designing and producing an infused beverage? Marcello, I'll throw that one to you first.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's very important. You know, here in Canada and the United States, we have different criteria. It looks like there's certain vendors down in the US that their dosage levels are quite high. In Canada, the maximum dosage level is 10 milligrams. And in some cases, you're seeing a mixture of lower dosage of THC and a mix between CBD and THC, depending on what type of efficacy you're going to have on the end user. So it all becomes a question of who your consumer is and what that onset would look like and who's experiencing the product. down in the United States when it first started off, or you've had beverages in the US for a number of years. You have one of my strategic partners, Keith Brands, that's one of the most popular beverage brands down in the US. In some cases, some beverages down in the US have 100 milligrams. So, you know, you're used to taking a smaller dose of that and a smaller sip, but because 100 milligrams is quite a bit. So in Canada, it's 10 milligrams, and then you will get some mixture between CBD and THC and a blend of that. So it just depends on the brands and who they're talking to as far as a consumer and what kind of impact you want that to have on the consumer and how quickly. So, and the emulsion is critical and the onset is critical. There's so many variables. Starting to see much more improvement with the leaders in the space and leaving behind some of the ones that don't have that kind of expertise that are able to lead in this category.
You know, it's funny when you're saying 100 milligram versus 10 milligram, it reminds me of like a meme I just saw that it says, there's only two responses to edibles. It's this didn't, or take me to the emergency room. So I feel like it is like, there's a lot of different dosing that people are going to have to get a little used to and definitely read those labels. Molly, do you have anything to add about that?
I completely agree. I mean, I think dosing is crucial. And you know, for the reason it's so important and the reason we see these different doses is because cannabis is unlike other drugs like alcohol and coffee in that the effective dose for cannabis or for THC varies so widely person to person, right? Some people can have 2 milligrams of THC and that gets them high. For other people, 20 milligrams doesn't even register, right? So there's this really wide variety just in everyone's individual, you know, body chemistry that means that there need to be a wider variety of doses. And that's what we're seeing is, you know, like Keith Brands, you know, they have several 100 milligrams. I remember back in the day in California before the regulations, there were 1000 milligram drinks, right? And I think that those are meeting different people where they are. And I think also what was touched on, which I want to reiterate, is this idea of, along with dosing, what's equally important is onset time, right? Because if you're a new consumer and you're trying to figure out, or just you're a consumer to a new product, you don't want to have to wait 45 minutes, 90 minutes to figure out how something has affected you to try to, you know, titrate from there, right? So now that onset times are getting down to 10, 15 minutes, you know, it doesn't take you an entire day or half a day to figure out exactly what your effective dose is. So I think that, and these are all pretty new developments that we're seeing. So that's part of the reason I'm so excited about beverages right now is because of all the innovation that's happening around those formulations.
Great.
Amazing. Well, Marcello, BevCanna develops and manufactures a range of products. What are some of the unique considerations when it comes to manufacturing, just distributing infused beverages compared to the broader industry?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And, you know, we develop and manufacture, we're a health and wellness company. So we do some interesting products on the CPG side with our plant-based beverages, like the plant-based that I'm drinking over here. And then on the cannabis side, we have our own brand, but we also offer a full white label opportunity for a number of other brands as well up in Canada. So, you know, all the points that we were talking about when our clients come to us and they're proposing a new beverage, they really have to know the consumer. They really have to understand the marketplace. They really have to understand the customer profile they're going after and dose accordingly to what you're going after and making sure that you do have the right emulsion partner. I mean, one of our great emulsion partners is a company by the name of Virtosa. I would say they're probably, Molly, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but utilized by Keith and a number of great brands. And it's interesting because, you know, some of the reports we just read recently, Heather, that you had sent over as well, one of the readings that you and I, we have all had. It's interesting to see that they say that some of the onsets are immediate. And really, you may get that feeling immediately. And then for a real good emulsion to really kick in, and if we can utilize what I would say is probably one of the best in the marketplace, which is Virtosa, it could take up to 8 to 8.5 minutes. And so it just depends what your delivery wishes to be. Do you want it to be a little bit more psychoactive, so you're all THC infused focus when preparing beverages, or would you like it to be a little bit more body influence for a CBD effect. So it really depends on each customer, what you're going after, what's the profile, what's the amount of dose and milligrams. In Canada, like I said, maximum is 10. But as you get state by state in the United States, it becomes more. And so it's a lot of work. It's like building any kind of brand that exists in the marketplace. It's not like, you know, we see people ask me, where are we in the whole state of the union for beverages? I say we're not even on first base, because if you take a look at the end of prohibition for alcohol and where we've come in all these decades, where are we going with beverages? This is, for us, something that I think is going to be probably one of the most dominant sectors, and customer profiles, CPG branding, CPG products, no different. The space is completely the same in the cannabis industry, where you're profiling and building products that you have an extreme point of difference and you know who your customer is.
Right. So it's definitely not a one size fits all kind of a category.
You know, you wish it would be like that, but it just never is like that.
It's always more complicated. Well, moving on, Forbes.com reported legal cannabis market projected to rack up $43 billion by 2025. So with 10 new legalized states slated to begin selling cannabis in 2021 or 2022, and 43% of the adult population residing in an adult use state, things are certainly heating up in the cannabis industry. So while the cannabis industry has flourished, the illicit market is still alive and well. Marcello, what, in your opinion, what role do you think infused beverages will play in driving consumers towards the legal market?
Yeah, you know, the illicit market is alive and well, and we saw that in that reading and the reports that they showed. I think for what's nice about beverages, you know, barrier to entry into beverages, you know, up in Canada where we have our facility, being a licensed producer, compliance to be able to get that license and be able to have a state-of-the-art bottling facility that you can produce products. That's the first barrier to entry when you're making beverages. Secondly, once it gets to market, price points on those beverages. I think that if people are looking to experience with the cannabis plant, whether it's a CBD or THC, you know, we're seeing the reports, we're seeing in states where legalization is not occurring in 2000, by 2025, the market is still fairly strong on the illicit markets. I think that this is just a great opportunity for more and more people that wish to experience with the product. And where are you going to be able to get it? You're going to be able to get it through licensed providers and licensed dispensaries. And hopefully, as it becomes in good adoption, we're going to be able to get to the national retailers and be able to get CBD infused products and be able to purchase those at a comfort level as well. So I think that the more distribution and the more adoption and the more distribution that we have when it comes to beverages, it's going to gear certain people into the legitimate market.
Yeah, this doesn't seem like something that someone can set up in their basement and produce down there.
We'd love you to go online and take a look at our bottling facility. You know, we produce over 200 million units a year. It's a state of the art bottling facility with our capabilities on our bottling plant. Barrier to entry is very difficult, and so yes, I would want to be purchasing beverage products that are fully compliant, that have been tested, that are safe. Right. And that's the advantage of being in the regulated market and licensed. And I'm always a big believer that's always the best way to go.
Right. Molly, do you have anything to add to that? I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I think, as we've already mentioned, I think that beverages are going to play a big role in bringing in new consumers, but also these consumers who use other forms of cannabis and try infused beverage. And if they like it, they're not going to be able to find anything like that on the illicit market. And if your only option for something that you want is the legal market, then you're gonna get it from there. And I think that we do see a really big difference. This comes out in the data between, you know, current consumers current consumers in legal states in the U.S., 15% of them have tried infused beverages, and in illicit markets, it's 8%. So we already see that just this access and legalization provides people with the opportunity to try it. And I think one of the most interesting things to me about beverages, because of the role that beverages in general play in our society, is I think that cannabis infused beverages, particularly these low dose beverages, are going to play a really important role in normalizing cannabis use and destigmatizing the use of cannabis. Because just in general, think about the activity of drinking and, you know, our society's relationship with alcohol and coffee versus smoking, right? Smoking cigarettes has become really demonized in the last few decades. And this idea of these low dose, accessible, they're not going to mess you up too much drinks are a really, I think they're going to change some people's minds about cannabis in general. So I think that that's another, you know, not as direct, but another indirect role that beverages are going to play in legalizing and promoting the legal market.
Agreed 100%, Molly. Excellent.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a less intimidating entryway into trying this, any kind of product. Well, Marcel, what are some of the primary challenges you see facing infused beverages for 2021?
Yeah, you know, I think it comes back around to some of the points we've already mentioned. Still early days. We're starting to see more and more brands coming into the marketplace. The distribution for these products, i.e. in Canada and even in the United States, the distribution isn't like your normal CPG distribution. So until we get more adoption, you know, it'd be nice to have more social lounges, people that, exactly like Molly was saying, we could go in and instead of having an alcoholic beverage, we can have a nice low dose CBD or THC beverage. People have to feel comfortable. Maybe they can have something to eat as well. It has to become more and more an everyday and a natural part of our society. And we're not there yet. And when we look, you know, Molly and Heather, Canada is the only G7 country in the world that's legalized, fully federally legalized. And so we still have a long way to come. We're hoping for U.S. legalization. We're hoping for, different steps to that legalization, from the CBD market to the THC market, for federal adoption and globally, the rest of the world. So we're so early. Can you imagine what it's going to look like in 5 and 10 years? And it's going to be no different than if we were sitting there at the end of prohibition of alcohol and said, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, the end of alcohol, the end of restriction of alcohol is here. Now everyone can participate. Would you like to do that? I think this is going to be an incredible industry, but extremely needs to have all the compliance that we have. In Canada, you know, you're all welcome to come up and take a look one day. It is a very regulated industry and very compliant, and the licensing process is very difficult. And so even when you want to buy the products, you have to go to the dispensaries. It's a little bit different than in the US right now. And so we need it to become an everyday thing. And that's what we're all working towards, this whole industry, because as we can see, the numbers are real. And it's going to be a huge industry, and it's going to continue to grow. And we're going to see a lot of new players in the marketplace, a lot of players that are not in it yet, but that are up in Canada, checking things out, looking at logistics, looking at distribution, looking at the different, how is the business overall working and adopting? How's the banking system working? How is everything coming along in this new federally legalized industry? And I think that's really the headwinds that we're working with to get more adoption and to let it be acceptable. And it's okay to go into a store and buy a CBD product. It's okay. You know, it's not a bad thing. You know, people buy cigarettes. And as you mentioned, cigarettes are not very good for you. And it is a good idea to keep them hidden away in the back at a grocery store. This plant has been attributed, I think, Molly, you can speak more than anybody else, but a lot of people that have said that it's changed their lives. So if we can get great adoption for the whole health and wellness industry, I think it's going to be amazing from what potentially could come out of this business.
Agreed. Molly, any challenges you see for the industry not mentioned here?
I mean, I think there are challenges, but to Marcello's point, this is early days and they're going to get worked out. Some of the things going on now is just, at least for dispensaries in the US, you know, that they've been dealing in flower and concentrates for a while, and the logistics of dealing with beverages is very different, right? They take up a lot more volume. They weigh a lot more. The containers can be breakable. They're perishable sometimes. They might need refrigeration, right? And that's just something new. That's a new paradigm for a lot of retailers. But that's, you know, with all of the interest in the sector and investment, I think that's going to get worked out over time. And I think that the other challenge is consumer education to an extent. But for as we've been talking about here, I think that alcohol provides a really useful analog for these low dose drinks because people are familiar with the idea of sitting down and drinking a beer and feeling, a mild buzz at the end of one or two beers. And that's something similar to these low dose beverages. But this analog of alcohol is kind of a double-edged sword because it's helpful in educating consumers. You don't need to start at square one being like, okay, this is something that you drink and then you wait a little bit and then you feel it, right? Because they know that idea about it. But cannabis and alcohol are very different drugs and they have different effects. They have different, you know, both short-term and long-term effects. They mean different things in our society. So I think that we're just going to, we're going to need to figure out as a society what that means practically, as cannabis beverages gain more popularity in the long term.
Agreed.
I couldn't agree more. All right. Well, we are almost out of time. Before we go, any predictions or outlook for the future?
You know what I'm going to say? We're not even on first base, so I'm looking forward to getting to second base, third base, fourth base, and continuing to lead in this industry. And I think, you know, we're gonna sit back and look back in 5 years, 10 years, 15 and 20. Wow, what an incredible opportunity to be a part of this space and to be early days. And we don't have all the answers, but we're all gonna figure it out, and it's gonna get better and better, this industry. It's going to get better and better for the consumer. So I'm really excited about that. I'm just excited. I'm just excited. Early days, what a great opportunity that comes with an early innovations and the challenges that come along with that as well.
Yeah, I feel like being someone that's only been in the industry a few years, things happen, it feels like lightning quick. Everything's changing so quickly. But at the same time, we're all so waiting for the federal legalization to happen. That seems very slow. So it's a double-edged sword there. That's Molly, true. What are your predictions or outlook?
I think in the near term, beverages are going to continue to be a relatively small part of the overall industry, but I think that it'll continue to grow. And I agree with Marcello. I think in the long term, I wouldn't be surprised, you know, maybe 15, 20, 30 years down the road, but I wouldn't be surprised if beverages are the primary way that most people consume cannabis, infrequent consumers using it mostly in social situations. I wouldn't be surprised if beverages become the main way that people interact with cannabis.
I have to agree with her 100%.
That's what he wanted to hear.
Perfect. 10%.
Well, thank you both so much for your time. And thank you to our listeners for joining us at Canada Week. Please be sure to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell. And if you really like us, give us 5 stars. And if you really, really like us, share our podcast. I am your host, Heather Wickline, and we will see you next time. New Frontier Data provides this podcast for entertainment purposes only. Nothing stated in this podcast should be taken as legal or financial advice. Reference to any specific product or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by the company. The views expressed by guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Views and opinions expressed by New Frontier Data employees are those of the employees and do not necessarily reflect the view of the company or any of its officials. If you have any questions about this disclaimer, please contact our legal department.